Welcome to the Youngevity Shareholder Call. During this call, we will be making forward-looking statements regarding Youngevity's current expectations and projections about future events. Generally, the forward-looking statements can be identified by terminology such as may, should, expects, anticipates, intends, plans, believes, estimates, and similar expressions. These statements are based on current beliefs, expectations, and assumptions, and are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, including those set forth in Youngevity's filings with the SEC, many of which are difficult to predict. No forward-looking statements can be guaranteed, and actual results may differ materially from such statements. The information on this call is provided only as of the date of this call, and Youngevity undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements contained on this conference call on account of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. It is my privilege to turn this call over to our CEO, Mr. Steve Wallach.
Thank you, Alex. Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you all to the Youngevity International Shareholders Call. Speakers on the call today are myself and our President and CFO of Youngevity, Dave Frisky. We will cover the following topics. We will highlight Q4 and year-end performance. We will provide an update on international operations. We will discuss growth drivers in coffee. We will discuss profitability improvement objectives, and we will provide forward guidance. I'd like to invite Dave Frisky onto the call.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, everyone. I always love talking to our shareholders and our shareholder base. I keep in communication with many of you, so welcome to the call. I'd first like to start off with some highlights for the fourth quarter. Consolidated revenues for Q4 were up 7%, or 6.9% to be exact. Overall, direct selling sales were up 2%. Our international revenue in direct selling division, on the international side of things, largely led by Asia, was up 28.9%. Coffee division revenue was up 57.6%, and that was led by green coffee distribution and Café La Rica, our own brand's growth, and particularly in that South Florida market. We've continued to experience growth since the relationship that we entered into with the Miami Marlins, Major League Baseball team. It's really given us some brand awareness and given us a pretty nice foothold in that Florida market. So let's get to the fourth quarter 2017 financial results first. Revenues for the Q ended 12/31 increased by 7%, as discussed earlier, to $41,041,000. And this is compared to $38.4 million for the fourth quarter of 16. We had derived approximately 87% of that revenue from the direct selling division, and approximately 13% of the revenue came from commercial coffee operations. Direct selling segment revenues increased 2% to $35.7 million in the current quarter as compared to $35 million for the quarter ended 16. Commercial coffee segment revenues increased 57.6% to just over $5.3 million in the current quarter as compared to just under $3.4 million for the quarter ended in December 31st of 16. This increase was primarily attributable to the revenue increases in our green coffee distribution business as well as our sales of our Café La Rica branded line of the coffee division. Gross profit for the fourth quarter ended December 31 increased 3.7% to just over $23.8 million as compared to $22,975,000 for fourth quarter ended December 31, 16. This gross profit percentage increase was lower than our revenue percentage increase, primarily due to the increase in the green coffee business revenue, which has lower margins. Overall gross profit as a percentage of revenues decreased to 58.1% in the current quarter compared to 59.8% in the same period last year. The operating loss for the fourth quarter ended December 31, 17, increased $241,000 to $989,000 as compared to $748,000 for the fourth quarter ended in December 31st, 2016. This increase was primarily due to increases in some operating expenses, expenses due to international expansion, and large expenses of legal fees. The income tax provision for the fourth quarter which is a bit complicated and something that we need to pay attention to. So fourth quarter ended December 31st, 2017. Our financials were impacted by $5,490,000 as an income tax against, so that's a $5,490,000 negative impact in the fourth quarter on an income tax provision versus an income tax benefit of $740,000 for the fourth quarter ended 16 of last year. The company increased the deferred tax valuation allowance by $3.5 million, just over 3.5, for the year ended December 31st, 2017. The final income tax provision for the year, combined with the additional valuation allowance discussed, has resulted in an income tax provision of $5,490,000 for the fourth quarter ended December 31st, 2017. It's important to note that this obviously is a non-cash event. Net loss for the fourth quarter ended December 34th, 2017, predominantly because of this income tax provision, ended up being $6,820,000 as compared to a net loss of $507,000 for the fourth quarter of 16. Once again, the increase in the net loss is primarily due to the non-cash impact of the income tax provision discussed a little bit earlier. Adjusted EBITDA for Q4 ended 17 was $302,000 as compared to $352,000 for fourth quarter ended 16. As we, many of you have been on calls before with us, we like to be based on the complication of our business and GAAP accounting. We think that adjusted EBITDA gives the best quarter to quarter and year to year comparison. And it obviously takes out some of those non-cash items and gives us a clearer view of the business. Full year 2017 results. Let's get to that. The revenues for year ended December 31st, 17 increased just under 2% to $165,696,000. This is compared to $162.6 million for the year ended 16. During the year ended 17, we derived approximately 86% of our revenue from the direct sales operation and 14% came in from the commercial coffee segment. Direct selling segment revenues decreased by just under $3 million or 2% to $142.4 million as compared to $145 million a year ago, 16. For the year ended December 31st, 17, commercial coffee segment revenues increased by almost $6 million or just under 35% to $23,246,000 compared to $17.2 million for the year ended December 31st, 16. The increase primarily came from, and I think we discussed this earlier, the green coffee distribution business and our own branded Cafe La Rica branded business. Gross profit for 2017 year-end decreased by 2.6% to $95,565,000. This is compared to $98,137,000 for the year-ended 16. Gross profit in the direct selling segment decreased by 1.9% to $95,379,000 from $97,219,000 in the prior period, primarily as a result of a decrease in revenue just discussed. Gross profit as a percentage of revenue in the direct selling segment increased by approximately 0.1% to 66.9% for the year ended 17 compared to 66.8% for the same period. So our GP numbers held pretty nicely through from 16 to 17. Gross profit in the commercial coffee segment decreased, actually, in spite of the increase in revenue to $186,000 compared to $918,000 to the prior period. The decrease in gross profit for the segment was primarily due to increase in raw material costs in the roasting operations business and additional costs incurred to increase direct labor costs, repairs, maintenance, depreciation expense, as we added a number of pieces of equipment to the roasting operation and lower margin impact from the green coffee business. Overall, gross profit as a percentage of revenues decreased 57% in the current quarter compared to 60.3% in the same period. Operating expenses for the year ended 17 increased 6.1% to $101 million as compared to $95 million for the year ended 16. Sales and marketing increased 31% to $13.7 million from $10.4 million for the prior year. And this primarily was due to increases in convention and distributor event costs, increased wages and related benefits, and increased marketing costs. The increase in convention costs was primarily due to a 20th anniversary celebration event that the company put on last year. General and administrative expenses also increased by 21.2%, $21.8 million versus $18,061,000 for the year ended 16. This was primarily due to increased in legal fees related to litigation, computer and internet-related costs, international expansion costs, investor relation costs, increase in depreciation, amortization, and stock-based compensation costs also increased to the number. Our operating loss for the year ended December 31st was just over $5.8 million compared to operating income of $2.5 million for the year 16. Total other expenses for the year ended December 17 increased by $965,000, and this was primarily due to warrant derivative liabilities and extinguished losses on debt. Income tax provision for the year end December 31st, we kind of cover that in the Q4 numbers where the entire impact was felt, but in 17, the income tax provision for the year was $2,727,000 as compared to an income tax benefit of $190,000 for the year end December 16. This increase was primarily due to the increase of deferred tax valuation allowance by $3,550,000 and offset by an income tax benefit for the year end December 31st, 2017. For the year ended, the company reported a net loss of $12.6 million as compared to a net loss of $398,000 for the year ended 16. EBITDA, which is earnings before interest, income taxes, depreciation, and amortization, as adjusted to remove the effect of stock-based compensation expense and the change in fair market warrant derivatives and extinguishment losses on debt, or adjusted EBITDA, decreased to a negative $549 from the year-end 17 compared to $6.7 million in 16. Clearly, in spite of the progress made in Q4, we have work to do and must focus on profitability moving into 2018. In the first three quarters of 2017, we spent a great deal of expenditures on our international expansion, on scaling our coffee operations, and we invested significant dollars in sales and marketing to gain back our organic growth. Although we achieved modest growth numbers in 17, it was driven from the international and lower margin coffee sales. We've been challenged in overcoming the departure of our sales and marketing team in three distributor groups that took place in 2016 and continues to have a negative drag on organic growth through most of 2017. We have experienced significant litigation expenses related to this situation, and we were able to augment the negative organic growth impact in 17 through our acquisition model. Unfortunately, this is a more expensive revenue to add to the business with integration, other acquisition costs, and earnout expenses attributable to this revenue that replaced almost $14 million of revenue that we lost due to this situation just discussed. So with that $14 million negative impact being essentially replaced by acquisition revenue, this is the main driver for the negative impact in the numbers. On a positive note, Q4 showed signs that we have overcome this scenario and this negative organic growth pattern that we've been in since 16. And we had very small negative growth or organic growth affecting our Q4 numbers. And Q4 showing that positive trend as we lead into 2018. Obviously, profitability improvement plan, it's in place. We're executing it now, and we expect to have it completely in place over the next 90 days. We're going to be streamlining our expenses not only within the direct selling division, also within coffee operations and all of the international offices around the world. We feel like it is time to really focus and curtail a little bit our acquisition model and make them very targeted on only accretive transactions only. This is evident by the last two acquisitions that we did, one with a company, Nature Direct, which is solely a company that operates in Australia, and we were able to lay that accretive acquisition and that revenue over the top of already in-place infrastructure and keep only very small expenses of that acquisition. So the second acquisition we've accomplished this year via Vienti is 80% of its revenue is in Japan. We had a center in Japan that was burning cash and laying this acquisition of a Japanese company with revenue being produced in Japan over our infrastructure in Japan has turned that into a profit center for us as we move forward into 2018. You can expect to see more and more of this type of strategy in our acquisition model. We have a number of international offices now set up and operating. All international offices now are producing revenue. We will not be adding any additional international offices unless the region itself can pay for the expansion. For example, we will not expand into Latin America unless we have a profit Latin America base of business to pay for it. We will not be expanding Asian operations until Asian operations can pay for it. And we will not be expanding other operations, whether that be Canada, New Zealand, Australia, or Eastern Europe, unless they can be paid for by the region. And we think this is a very good strategy going forward. We don't want to put burden on the domestic company of direct selling, which is very profitable. We want to make sure that we bring that profitability back to the bottom line and focus on profits as we move through 2018. Obviously, you can review our 10K filing, which will be virtually on all financial sites by tomorrow. It may be there already today. And with that, I would like to turn the call over to Steve Wallach, who will talk about specifically the international operations and the coffee division.
Thank you, Dave. As you mentioned, both the coffee division and our international offices have received a very significant investment over the last couple of years, and it's great to see the income now beginning to be produced in these international markets, for example. And you touched on that lightly, but I'd like to dig into it a little bit deeper. International revenue growth. As we discussed, overall international revenue is up just about 29% in Q4 versus Q4 2017 versus Q4 2016. This revenue growth is experiencing broad-based success with really Russia being the only international market without revenue growth of the ones that we're discussing. So Australia, let me just go through some of the numbers. Australia was up 38.3% in Q4 2017. The New Zealand revenue was up 22.7% in Q4 2017. Canada up 13.9%. UK up 94.1%. Asia as a region has grown significantly, logging $1.4 million in sales for the quarter, led by Hong Kong, which is up 137.5%, Singapore, 426%, Taiwan, 785%, Mexico was also up 62.5%, approximately. Dave also mentioned the last two acquisitions, one being Via Vienti, with a primary presence in Asia, primarily in Japan, and then Nature Direct with a primary presence in Australia. And Nature Direct is also a great example of a line extension or a product extension that makes total sense with very environmentally friendly cleaners, organic cleaners, that people have been asking for quite some time. So it was an acquisition that made total sense to all of us, and we really expect a lot of positive things going forward from these two acquisitions. As Dave said, this really is our near-term strategy in terms of acquisitions, acquisitions that add accretive revenue into regions that we're already in, and so we're excited about that. Also, as Dave discussed, our coffee business is in a growth phase. 2017, the coffee segment was up 34, almost 35%. We anticipate this growth continuing throughout 2018. All phases of our coffee business are growing, really led by the green coffee distribution and or the Cafe La Rica brand of business. Our food services business and our private label business are also experiencing strong growth as well, so we're excited to see that trend, and we expect it to continue in 2018 as well. So what I'd like to do now is turn the call back over to Dave.
So what I'd like to talk about now is actually some good news. I'm sure everyone will be happy to hear this. I think most of those listening on the call are aware, or will be aware, obviously, when we file our Q1 report, and I believe some of this may be mentioned in the K, but we are in the middle of, we filed an S1 earlier this year. We set our sights on doing an offering with TriPoint Global Equities, or bank, on a preferred stock offering that was primarily targeted at investors in our distributor group, and we have had two closings on that offering. What is very interesting about that offering is, as Youngevity as an entity has some convertible debt notes, and these convertible notes couple about $6.8 million. And in this $6.8 million worth of debt, there's a clause in there that said the next time Youngevity was to raise $3 million, those notes would have to convert to equity. And I'm happy to announce on this call that the bank offering, after its second closing, there'll be one more closing tomorrow, but after its second closing, we've achieved that $3 million target. So that creates a $9.8 million-plus positive flip on our balance sheet, because the $6.8 million of debt now goes away and converts to equity. It'll also be beneficial to our cash flow, obviously, as we move forward, eliminating $6.8 million of interest at a higher rate and replacing it with this $3 million of new capital into the business. And the new capital does pay a dividend of 5%, but it pays that dividend for 2 years, and then itself has an auto conversion feature and converts to equity. So it's very, very good news. Obviously, our balance sheet, as we file next quarter, will be much improved with a $10 million improvement just from this offering, and we'll put news on that likely on Monday with the actual final details as we close out the third funding of the escrow tomorrow. As we move forward, it is time to, and I know this will make everybody listening in, it's time to move and put these things in the hand of investment banker. We've had numerous talks with very, very strong and reputable investment bankers, and we expect to move forward with a banker as soon as we possibly can in 2018. We have our sights set on looking for and really kind of tripling our efforts and finding analyst coverage for the company. We think it's important. We will be on the NASDAQ almost a year come June, and it's time to set that path. And one of the things that we're noticed as we're Steve and I have been conversations with the investment banking community is they all are encouraging us to provide guidance in a certain way and to develop KPIs and key performance indicators for these calls. So hopefully by our Q1 call, which is only about 45 days away, but if not by Q2, we will certainly have all of the systems in place. We're spending money now on creating those key performance indicator software pieces that will allow us to report really within seconds on any component of our business, and that's well along, so we can, when we have these calls, we can deliver KPI performance that you'll be interested in hearing as shareholders. And we'll also start to provide guidance on a regular basis. We do expect to deliver in 2018 consolidated revenues in the range of $190 million to $200 million for 2018. And we have an expectation that we will return to profitability by Q4. We'll get more detailed in guidance as we enter into the subsequent reports of each quarter coming up. And we look forward to hearing you and speaking to you on the Q1 call, which is really just around the corner. We wish everybody a safe and happy weekend.